T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Say my name.
Mike Florio.
Get the name right. That's all that matters. Spell my name right or say my name properly.
Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports.
Hearing Florio writing any articles about it.
NFL Insider.
Take a spin around the league. We bring in Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio.
My name is my name.
With Bernstein and McKnight on 670 The Score.
Time for some football talk. Pro Football Talk, to be exact. That is his Twitter handle for Mike Florio. NBC Sports, ProFootballTalk.com. And he joins us in the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. All right, Mike, well, let's kind of unwind all this. The news since yesterday afternoon has come fast and furious regarding this staged tryout pro day, whatever you want to call it, for Colin Kaepernick. Why is this, and how is this, and what is this?
Well, here's what it is. It's not Colin Kaepernick holding an audition, and I heard in your update that's how it was phrased, and that's a very common misconception, and I'm not blaming anyone. I think the way the NFL leaked this, it's created the impression that Kaepernick has decided in some sort of a last ditch, I'm going to have a private workout for all NFL teams, come show up if you want to, and if not, well, that's your loss. This is the NFL specifically deciding to do this without even telling Kaepernick. They set it up. And then they told Kaepernick, hey, you got a workout on Saturday in Atlanta, and all teams are invited. And Kaepernick's people said, well, Saturday, teams are kind of busy on Saturday. How about Tuesday, the normal day that teams hold tryouts? Nope, it's got to be Saturday. Well, how about next Saturday so teams have a chance to plan for this and be there if they want to send key decision makers? Nope, it's got to be this Saturday. So this thing is just weird to me, and there's a hidden agenda that has pushed it. I don't know what it is. Schefter on ESPN suggested that Roger Goodell feels bad about the things that have happened, which I don't buy that that's the reason for it. I can't tell you whether or not he actually feels bad, but I don't think that's the impetus for this. It's either a clumsy, awkward PR play at a time when nobody's talking about Colin Kaepernick, or and this is what I think it is. I think it's an effort to help the league standing in the event that Colin Kaepernick files a second lawsuit alleging that he's now the victim of retaliation individually and collectively by the 32 teams who are upset that he sued them for collusion and essentially won by settling the case for somewhere between $1 and $10 million. So because it's been crickets, and remember when they settled this claim back in February, Mark Gergis was saying, oh, somebody's going to do the right thing and sign him within the next 2 weeks. And nobody's ever showed any interest in him. I feel like this is a clumsy way by the NFL to basically play this game of chess with Kaepernick. It's like, hey, you want back in? We're going to set up this workout for you, even though it's essentially a meaningless workout, especially if no coaches or GMs are there.
I think there's another aspect to it that we have to watch out for here. The second phase of this is unnamed attendees leaking, you know, he didn't look very good. You know, it's clear he's not what he was. You know, I think the first little whispers that we hear coming out of it are going to matter, because then it gets to blaming him. Then it gets to whether saying, well, you know, now it's definitely not worth it in the calculus because, boy, he doesn't have the zip on the fastball anymore. He's not moving right, or his body didn't look good. So we got to really closely monitor from whom we get the first word and what it sounds like.
Well, and you know what? That's an excellent point. And what I'm going to do is I am going to challenge all members of the media to not traffic in unnamed scout who attended the session says Kaepernick stinks. There's too much of that crap that goes on before the draft as teams try to rig the draft board, and they say bad things about guys they like and good things about guys they don't like, and they leak it to the media, which is so anxious to have content that they don't care about the credibility of the content.
Yep.
I'm going to tell them ahead of time, if you do it, I'm calling you out. Not that it's going to stop them, but I'm calling them out if they do it. And I have a short list in mind of the people who I think will do it. Oh, unnamed source who was present at the workout says Colin Kaepernick, he just doesn't have it anymore. Well, okay, what credibility is that going to have? So I agree with you. There's the potential for various forms and levels of chicanery, and I'm suspicious of the whole thing. I don't know why they would do it, and I am going to assume, based upon the way they've handled Colin Kaepernick from the moment he became a free agent in March of 2017, that they are up to no good with this.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. There are three starting quarterbacks in the NFL who just don't have it anymore, and then five guys backing up five other quarterbacks that just don't have it anymore, too.
Did have it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Oh, Mike, absolutely. What are his, as you see it playing out, what are Colin Kaepernick's options if he says, how does it play out for him if he says, no, I'm not taking this workout?
He's going. He intends to go.
What would happen if he didn't, though?
Well, then the argument would be, see, he's not serious about coming back to the NFL. And there would be a segment of the media and the fan base that would buy that. I mean, there's still people who push this idea that the only reason he was unemployed in 2017 is because he opted out of his contract with the 49ers, even though 49ers GM John Lynch has said on the record, we were going to cut him anyway. There are still people who bring up this, oh, he opted out. All the false narratives. Oh, he's a vegan. Oh, he's not serious about really playing. He doesn't love football anymore. He wants too much money. He wants to be a starter. Nobody knows the answer to any of those questions because he's never been asked. He had one visit to the Seattle Seahawks, and the Seahawks, the belief was they didn't want somebody there who was going to threaten Russell Wilson. Even though they embraced competition at every position on the roster, they didn't want competition in the form of Colin Kaepernick, who would potentially, and you know, at the time, 2017, they still had some pretty strong personalities that resented Russell Wilson. Maybe that would have been a toxic stew, because then they could have said, hey, Colin Kaepernick's better than this guy. So I can understand that, but to have no one else ever bring him in for a visit, no one else bring him in for a workout, the whole thing stinks. I think that he should be very leery about this, but you know, they're looking for these false narratives that they can perpetuate. And if he doesn't show up, they've got another false narrative that they can say, oh, he's not serious about playing football at all.
How has Lamar Jackson's success in any way change some context, not just about Kaepernick, who we watched him running free against defenses for a while as this sort of hybrid style. Does the fact that Lamar Jackson is doing it in an unconventional fashion change the quarterback discussion generally at all?
Oh, it should. And it's more than just Lamar Jackson. Over the past two or three years, we have seen teams take college quarterbacks who were highly successful, and instead of trying to jam them into a system that is foreign to them, coming up with an offense that simulates what they did at the college level. And we've seen that old school stubbornness, that Bill Polian, Lamar Jackson should be a receiver mindset slip away. And it's like, okay, this guy has shown in the offense that he ran in college that he can be incredibly successful. If we believe in him at this level, let's let him do the same thing. So I think that that's been there, this idea throughout Colin Kaepernick's unemployment, the idea that if you bring this guy in, you design the offense to suit his strengths, it's a no-brainer. And who's the offensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens? It's Greg Roman, the guy who put together the offense that Kaepernick ran in San Francisco. And the Ravens should be at the front of the list. If anybody's going to sign this guy, it would be the Ravens, because if Lamar Jackson gets hurt, you're down to RG3. And I think Kaepernick's better than RG3 right now. And you'd need to have a backup who can run that offense. And I think Kaepernick would make sense behind RG3 if and when Jackson gets injured.
A national report says the Dolphins will have people there at Colin Kaepernick's workout. I ask this question because I know it's a little simplistic, but I ask it to play it out. If the NFL can tell Colin Kaepernick, this is your workout and this is you have to go, can they not do the same thing for NFL representatives, for coaching staffs, for scouts, for GMs? Can they not tell? Why wouldn't they tell people to go? This is what you're doing today.
And here's the thing. You know, people will say, well, the NFL has no power over the teams. Okay, well, when Michael Sam was in the draft pool and a phone call was made from the league office to Jeff Fisher and a backroom deal was done to get the Rams to draft him, I mean, there's ways to make these things happen if you really want them to happen.
I'm with you. That's all the quiet backroom horse trading. It's public for a reason.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. These tryouts happen all the time. Every Tuesday, there will be anywhere from 1 to 15 to, if a team's on a bye week, they'll bring in 20 guys to have a tryout on a Tuesday to the team facility with the coach there, with high-level scouts there to observe the guy, to put him through the paces, to have him do the things that he would be doing if he was on that team. So the fact that the Dolphins are sending, it doesn't matter. All the Dolphins have to do is call him up and say, come to Miami right now, and we'll give you a workout. It's a charade. It's a show. And the best explanation I can come up with is that Jeff Pasch, the NFL's general counsel, decided that there's a legal strategy to be implemented here to protect the league against the next Kaepernick lawsuit, and this is their clumsy way of implementing it.
I want to slam my head against the dashboard on my drive-in. I was listening to our morning show with Mully and Haw. They were talking with Rich Campbell, and Mike, the Tribune just came out with a many-thousand-word, like magazine-style piece, forensically going back and studying how the Bears ended up with Mitchell Trubisky and talking about all of the interviews and their lack of interest in Deshaun Watson and how they felt about Patrick Mahomes, etc. And it was a real indictment of Ryan Pace in a lot of ways with his process and his certainty and how he arrived where he did. But at one point near the end, they said, will the Bears go be a part of this Kaepernick tryout? And what Rich Campbell, the Bears beat guy from the Tribune, said was they probably wouldn't want to be seen there. They might send somebody, they might hide, or they might go secretly. But if it gets out that they're there or they're publicly definitely watching, they would be concerned about the effect on the fragile confidence of Mitchell Trubisky. And I just wanted to drive into a ditch.
I don't think his confidence can get any worse, right? When the guy wants to unplug all the TVs in the facility because he doesn't want to hear criticism of the team. I look at it this way. If your quarterback, and I don't know that Mitchell Trubisky actually is this fragile, but if a quarterback is that fragile, he's got no business being the guy that you're trusting to go out there and try to win football games.
I don't know that he is that fragile necessarily, but his confidence is absolutely an issue in his play. I wonder, though, like, Mike, if you had to take either the Bears GM job tomorrow or the Rams GM job tomorrow, which is the more attractive job for you, knowing all of the issues involved and the fact that, listen, they committed that money to Jared Goff. The Bears have not yet done so to Mitch Trubisky.
Well, one of the reasons I take the Bears GM job is the tax rate in California is 13.3%.
Yeah,
you got to think
tough.
Of that. Yeah. But I would take the Bears job because it's easier to get away from Trubisky than it is to get away from Jared Goff. They're screwed. And this is one of the big criticisms I have of Sean McVay. Great tactical coach, great designer of plays, great play caller. But when it comes to handling your guys, he needs to develop that thick skin, that callus on his soul that you need to have. You need to know when to cut guys loose. And you need to not let yourself, number one, fall in love with guys prematurely. And then number two, allow the media to push you deeper into the relationship than you'd like to be. What happened was in the aftermath of Super Bowl 53, when Jared Goff had an opportunity to make a championship throw in a championship spot, when there was a play they ran in the first half, and Goff didn't see Brandon Cooks break wide open down the middle of the field. They missed it the first time. They had a half-hour halftime. They did it again in the third quarter when it was 7-3, and he missed him again. He waited too long. He threw a bad ball. It was broken up. It would have changed everything. The Rams go up 7-3 in the third quarter, changes everything. And there was a lot of criticism that was hoisted upon Goff after that. And throughout the offseason, guys like me and others in the media were criticizing Goff. And McVay kept so over the top. I mean, it was gross. It was so over the top in praising Jared Goff. Eventually, Goff's agent says, hey, look at all these things you said. It's time to pay the guy. And now they paid him, and now they're screwed. And if they had been more dispassionate and didn't feel compelled to mount this aggressive defense of Jared Goff, they may have been able to kick the can for one more year. And then after this year, I mean, look at it this way. Just like with Todd Gurley. They did a contract with Todd Gurley that after the 2018 season, they regretted. Now they've done a contract with Jared Goff that after the 2019 season, based on what we've seen so far, they're going to regret.
Do you really think that was causal? Do you really think that the agent seized upon what was being said about him and all the hosannas that were thrown his way? Ultimately, the team can kind of mealy-mouth their way and say, it doesn't mean we have to pay.
Listen,
were just kind of saying stuff.
One of the first lessons I learned when I got into this business, and from someone who's been around for a long time and whose opinion I trust, you always have to be careful what you say publicly about your guys, because if you praise them, That becomes Exhibit A when it's time to negotiate the next contract. And McVay did it so many times and so over the top and so aggressively. It got to a point where it was too conspicuous. You've got to pay the guy. How do you? Because if you don't, here's the problem. And this is the argument I'd make if I was Jared Goff's agent. If you don't give him the contract now, people are going to think that everything you said all offseason long was a lie. And I think that Ryan Toner, who represents a bunch of these young quarterbacks, including Carson Wentz, I think he worked it perfectly to get Goff the contract, just like the folks at Roc Nation worked it perfectly last year to get Todd Gurley's contract, which was great for Gurley, but awful for the Rams, given what happened to his knee last year. Yeah. And look at him this year. And that's the other thing, too. Like, Sean McVay's afraid to say, anytime that they ask Todd, like, why isn't Todd Gurley being used? They're afraid to say, well, his knee's messed up. He's not a workhorse tailback anymore. They come up with all these other excuses other than just admitting the truth. His knee's messed up, and he's not the guy that he was 2 years ago, period.
So if you were representing Mitchell Trubisky, would you be able to put – it's almost like being in front of an arbitrator. Do you think there's enough here? Do you think there's enough praise, enough of that we believe in him, or it was a tale of two halves, or he looked great on those throws that he made?
Gets himself out of
it. Yeah, yeah. Do you – works himself out of it, however they want to phrase it? Do you think you've got enough of a case to present?
I think that if I was Mitchell Trubisky's agent, my best hope would be to convince another team after the 2020 season – that Matt Nagy was too rigid with his offense and unwilling to do the things that Mitchell Trubisky does well and unwilling to avoid the things he doesn't do well. And look at all these other quarterbacks like Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, where you take their skill set and you develop an offense around them. If you do that with Mitchell Trubisky, he can be successful for you. That's the best argument I've come up with. I think the ship has sailed as long as Matt Nagy's the coach in Chicago, because Trubisky just doesn't fit that offense.
Mike, appreciate you. Great chat.
All right, thanks, guys.
That is Mike Florio. Outstanding stuff. Just full of content today. The segment is brought to you by Fast Park and Relax. Indoor airport parking serving Midway Airport. Getting to the airport is stressful. Parking shouldn't be. Fast Park and Relax. A new indoor parking facility 2 minutes from Chicago's Midway Airport is only $11 per day. Go to thefastpark.com for reservations, and their van will take you from your spot to your terminal, thefastpark.com. Are the pizzas in the oven?
I believe they're in the oven. I do not see any of them out on the bar here outside the studio. I think they're on their way soon. I'm hungry. I'm getting ready for it. We got a lot to do yet today. Mike even brought up something there. You brought up something with Mike that has to do with Mitchell Trubisky and his contract status and some of the stuff that's out there arbitration-wise. I got to ask a question about. There's the Astros stuff and cheating. We're packed the rest of the day long, plus the pizza.
Yeah, do you want to hit the Astros thing?
I do.
We've probably got to get to that because it matters. What happened may have affected what happened here.
It matters right here. Big news in baseball. We'll get to it. Burns and McKnight on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Steven Strasburg, 2 runs in the first inning, nothing thereafter. What was the change you made?
Started shaking my gloves, so they didn't know what I was throwing. So they obviously, look for certain things, and, I just thank Menhart for... giving me the tip.
Well, let's talk about that, because I saw you after that first inning go to a more deliberate set and you would butterfly your glove to confuse them. I watched you walk after that first inning go down with Paul Menhart. Tell me about how he saw that, or did you recognize that?
I definitely didn't, because, it's something that, has burned me in the past, and they burned me there in the first. But, again, it's just a part of the game, and, you got to do your best to, stay consistent in your delivery on each pitch.
Well, tipping is one thing for Steven Strasburg and others. It's another thing when a team is using technology, using a camera positioned in the outfield to steal signs during home games in real time. And now we know, due to the reporting of Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drylich, that the Astros in 2017, the year they won the World Series, were doing just that. Four people who were with the Astros in 2017, including pitcher Mike Fiers, said the Astros stole signs during home games in real time with the aid of a camera positioned in the outfield.
Yeah, so Fiers went on to say that one of the reasons he started telling his teammates on the 2018 Detroit Tigers is that there's a bunch of young kids on that team. They're trying to get something together. And I liked the way he explained it, too, because it kind of it throws aside this whole, if you're not cheating, you're not trying kind of thing that baseball has had around it for a long time. There are the Tigers brought up how many countless minor leaguers to come play a little baseball last year, try and figure out what they had. Those guys, you know, they get up there, they start throwing and get rocked by an Astros team, and they get sent down and don't get another chance. They get rattled, some of that kind of stuff. You're working for jobs here. You're working for jobs. So if you're going to play by different rules, as the Astros clearly did in 17 and were likely doing afterward, my opinion, nobody else's, but likely doing afterward, then there are consequences here for players trying to earn jobs, trying to make their way in the big leagues. That's matter number one for me.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall. The Cats host UMass this Saturday at 11 a.m. in Minnesota next Saturday. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. And three other sources inside the organization in 2017 and had direct knowledge of the scheme discussed its existence on the condition of anonymity. The Astros setup required technical video knowledge and required the direct aid of at least some on the baseball operations staff, according to team sources. Now, remember that Yu Darvish, then a Dodger in 2017, got rocked.
Just tattooed.
In that building. And it's like, oh, he's tipping pitches, something going on. His confidence was so rattled. His trust in his own pitches, and he's talked about this, was so rattled by that, it took him a season and a half.
He nearly quit the game.
To get himself back together and thought about not being in baseball anymore.
That's a lot.
Think about how that affected the Cubs. And not only that, this is crazy here. If we're going to be in this rabbit hole, that in part because of technologically advanced and aided cheating on the part of the Astros, orchestrated sign stealing with cameras, Darvish struggles. And you know, the Cubs didn't have to sign him, whatever, but they did. They signed him. He struggles. Then they go out, they spend money on Cole Hamels. Then all the stuff with them, well, we don't have this money or we spent this money here. I mean, you start looking at if this, then this, and what begat what, and how some roads lead back here gets a little interesting.
You start wondering if a guy who's getting shelled in a World Series game the way he was starts to pitch a little different, throw a little harder, maybe put himself at injury risk, which maybe then spirals out of control for you in the next season, trying to pitch through some things and prove that you're tough. And what happened last year wasn't something that, you know, that was under your control. You try and show people that maybe an injury pops up. It's easy to make excuses for Yu Darvish, and they are excuses to a certain degree. And I know we don't like to traffic in this kind of stuff.
And he's not doing it. He's refusing to do it.
That's my point. He's not making the excuses. And when you start getting into, you know, cheating, that's the area in which excuses get made. One team's not playing by the same rules as everybody else. And you can see the difference. You can see the advantage that goes to one team more than the other. Now, here's the other thing. I don't think that they're the only team doing something like this. I would not be shocked at all if we found out, this team has a little bit of this going on, or this team has experimented with something like this, or this team's been doing it for a decade, not as well as the Astros and not as successfully, and therefore that's why you never heard about it,
never talked about it. Allegations of a certain light on the scoreboard being on, if it's a certain, you know, one if by land and two if by sea.
Been doing this since the 50s.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as sign stealing from center field goes, people not on the field trying to take signs, it's been going on since the 50s. And every single player will have for you some story about this park here or that park there where that guy sits and he wears this color shirt and you can see that all that kind of stuff. You hear these stories every single time somebody hangs them up.
Or why is it in Foxborough when you play the Patriots, there's always a glitch with your communication system with the quarterback's helmet. Always. I don't know. It went out again.
But I think what matters here is this. Even if there are other teams doing it the way the Astros do it or some sort of offshoot from that, There seems to be a reason that as many as broke bad on the Astros did. Three unnamed players, unnamed sources who spoke on the condition and anonymity, and Mike Fiers. The Astros, and you saw it during the World Series with Brian Taubman, they have created an atmosphere around them that in Major League Baseball is kind of detested a little bit reviled. They kind of think they're holier than thou. At least that's what it seems other teams may think of them.
Well, we heard it when we talked to Theo about it, remember? We said we've been talking about what was in the MVP machine, and Theo's like, yeah, see, we do stuff too. We just don't go talking about it and publicizing it.
He didn't mention a team name, but it certainly felt like he was, you know, addressing a team or two that does things fairly publicly.
Yeah,
well, you did. And that's – so it just kind of – I don't know. It's a comeuppance in a small degree, and I don't expect production to plummet for the Astros next year. I don't expect Jordan Alvarez to suddenly not hit as well as he has or what have you. But there's something to look at here in terms of winning at any cost and rebuilding a franchise the way you have and, you know, throwing what they have off the side of the boat as they try and race down the way. I mean, it's illegal for a reason.
Bill in Capitol Hill is out today. He's on the Score. Hello, Bill.
Hello, lads. How's the umpire?
Give me a chance to...
We'll see.
Give me a chance to read some of what's being said, and I'll tell you.
The mood here is really in peachy, I must tell you. It's a contest between the deep state and the derp state. love the conversation between about the Astros. There's a book that some guy named Eldon Hamm wrote a couple of decades ago called Larceny Old Leather, and one of the things he was talking about the steroid context, but he was talking about how baseball gets itself into existential crisis when its sort of history of nudge and wink, good old boy corruption that you're talking about, Connor, transcends and breaks into sort of modern technology where they have to sort of lie about it. And, you know, just as, you know, the ghost at the table of Moneyball was Balco, right? That, like, here you have this sort of hagiography for these team executives, and nobody's bothering to mention the steroids. We now found out that the ghost of the table for the MVP machine is advanced metrics for cheating, right? And I think, and I think that it's, you know, it's, I mean, it's obviously long overdue. The Astros have been very hubristic, but, like, baseball's really in trouble on this one. I mean, you know, the Astros just this fall were advertising for a director of AI, right?
Yeah.
So the capacity, you know, the capacity to move this from, you know, that nudge and wink tradition, right? I mean, it's a competitive advantage to steal signs. It's been going on for a long time. Gee whiz. Now you can automate it. That's, I mean, in a weird way, that's kind of terrifying, right? And so, yeah, I hope that Major League Baseball takes this seriously and wrestles with it in a serious way. Because, you know, it's at the crossroads of a lot of questions about technology, not just as regards development of the game, but, you know, we're about to go to robot arms.
Yeah, right? But they're behind. Here's the thing, though, Bill. They don't have the bandwidth to handle this. What, Joe Torre is going to do this? These individually, you know, these siloed teams and these eggheads that are in every front office right now who have never seen a baseball, and that's fine. I'm not mad about it. But yeah, their skills in automation and AI and all this stuff, baseball has no concept of how to police any of this stuff, even if they wanted to.
I agree with you there, Danny. I think that the consequences, though, are potentially drastic because, among other things, I mean, if you look at the Astros just specifically, a lot of their guys are refugees from the housing crisis, right? They're all a bunch of hedge fund dudes,
right?
Who made their ill-gotten gains and their ill-gotten fame on, you know, exactly this kind of arbitrage, right? So, you know, whatever the sort of structural equivalent of a bubble is, it's coming MLB's way. So, they've got to get a handle on it.
Yeah, that's true.
There's like, there is no excuse.
And there's some irony in the fact that this was going on in the building that used to be named after Enron.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. This is you make a good point about the bandwidth. Remember the delay that we had to go through with the protest in the World Series, right? Part of the reason it was as long as it was is because they had to literally find Joe Torre to find out whether they could protest the thing.
Yep.
Joe's sitting in the third freaking row, and they couldn't locate him fast enough to get him on the horn to talk this over. That is an antiquated system when you're talking about Rapsodos and 3D cameras and slow motion everything. You got to find Joe Torre? Are you flipping kidding me?
We have the Midday Midway straight ahead. This is really important if you're Danny Parkins right now. So if you are Danny Parkins, you're going to want to listen because these are the worst baby names of 2019. The worst girls' names.
Excellent.
And the worst boys' names. And I have no worries. I think that Danny and Steph are probably, it's going to, you know, the kid's going to be like
Clemson over.
John or Mike.
No, it's going to be Clemson over.
There are enough decent names of Chicago athletes that they'll be fine.
Martellus. You know, they're, I think it'll, they're, I'm not all that worried.
Okay.
But these are.
Khalid Ella Parkins.
these are really horrible.
We also have a local news story that is inflicting horrible, horrible damage to citizens in New Jersey. The Midday Midway is on the way. Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
Midday Midway brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you, newmailmedical.com. Well, we started out by lauding Coby White. He earned it. And
damn
I
right
just think
did.
In a season that is going to be bereft of positives, we got to celebrate him when we can. So a tip of the cap to Coby White and a franchise record number of three-pointers and 23 fourth-quarter points and all in good fun in a win over the hapless Knicks. Katie Nolan joined us to talk stuff and things.
Yeah, it was fun.
Mike Florio had all the latest on what's going on with what appears to be an orchestrated sham of a tryout camp for one Colin Kaepernick.
There's one way he can win. There are a whole bunch of other ways he's set to lose what will be this tryout.
And I think it's really important to monitor what's said and who leaks what's said and who's in control of the anonymous reports of what is being said after the fact, because that's when the stuff could get really ugly and really unfortunate. Also, it's Connor Eats His Three Jack's Pizzas Day. Where are we now?
It's that day.
Where do we stand?
Six slices in and in the first commercial break.
Oh, you're almost a full pizza in.
Yeah, two left. Feel pretty good about that. Jay, I was about to finish the whole pizza in the break, and Jay came out and was like, this is, you know, you got to slow yourself down a little bit.
I'm a little
check
concerned.
It back some.
Too fast.
About the pacing. I feel okay. I do think I might have gotten off the blocks a little quickly, but I'm certainly not
But
worried.
Think about pacing, because this was the first break you had an opportunity to actually eat pizza.
Yeah.
By the end of the show, you don't have that many more breaks. Six slices is almost your pace.
Yeah, you don't have much time left.
All right, well, we'll get
kinda
this going.
Kind of got screwed by the chef, I guess, on
you know,
when those pizzas
were ready. They did say 10:15, and it was like 10:25 when it happened, and in radio, every moment mattered. All right, so I take you to New Jersey, and you know that I have an affinity for local news stories, especially when they border on ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
A local animal is fouling up.
Ugh.
You're welcome. Oh, it's about to get worse, buddy. We're going local news. Fouling up.
Where?
A senior neighborhood in New Jersey.
Community? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I take you to the news report.
Wild turkeys are running amok at an over 55 community in Ocean County.
Yeah, residents say these turkeys in a large flock are blocking doorways, pecking at cars, and behaving aggressively. News 12 New Jersey's Alex Adan with a story from Toms River tonight.
The turkeys are taking over. It's like an infestation.
Let's talk turkey.
I can't get out of my door. Sometimes I can't get out of my car. They go to attack you.
About a problem that's putting the Tom in Tom's River. Tom Turkey, that is. Just in time for Thanksgiving, an aggressive gaggle of 40 to 60 wild turkeys is terrorizing a 55 and older community in Holiday City.
It's very disturbing when you can't get to your own home. Shoo them away, they won't do anything. They just like look at you to say, yeah. Like they don't care.
People think it's a laughing matter. It's a serious matter. When I can't get out of my house to get in the car, because they won't go away and you can't get them to go away and they go to bite you, yes, it's a problem. They've broken windows in people's houses when they fight, and it's something to be taken seriously.
Tom Zervis says its animal control officers are powerless to stop the turkeys because they're not licensed to trap wildlife.
Firearms
a spokesman for the Department of Environmental Protection said that Fish and Game is aware of the situation, but didn't have further information.
Because if I have to go inside to do something, my medicine or something, can't get into the home because they will not let you in the home.
Experts say turkeys that become accustomed to humans or find human food can become aggressive. The USDA says that turkeys can chase or harass children and fly up to 55 miles per hour.
Actually, sometimes they're scarier than, like, maybe a scary dog. They're scary.
There's too many of them. I'm not saying to hurt them. Take them where there's a lot of property. Take them someplace else.
Get them out of here.
Get them out of here.
Wait, they can fly 55 miles an hour?
They can't fly 55.
They can't fly 55!
There is no way they fly 55 miles an hour. Now, lest you think that this is just the over 55 community at Tom's River in New Jersey, no, my friend, these turkeys affect even celebrities and ball players in the local area. Todd Frazier himself was tweeting about the turkeys just the other day. I've seen reports about the wild turkeys in Toms River. They are a big problem here.
Wow.
Toms River and the Toms River wildlife say they can't move them. That's ridiculous. They have come close to harming my family.
They're scary.
And my friends.
Well, once the Frazier family is
they
in
have
peril.
Ruined my cars. They have trashed my yard and much, much more.
I'll get the net gun.
This is afflicting the Frazier family. Hawk Harrelson will be on the scene helping him out very soon.
I gotta go down there and check him out. Here are your worst names for girls, we'll start with, in 2019. We're going to go from 10 to 1. The worst names for girls.
Okay.
All right. Number 10, Pansy.
Yeah.
Number 9, Vegas. Number 8, Annie. Like, picture Amy with an N instead of the M.
A-N-Y?
Yeah, Amy or Annie.
Just rural Kentucky? What the hell is going on?
Nope, this is global parenting site parents.com. Let's put this together. Okay. Number 7, Blakely, B-L-A-Y-K-E-L-E-E.
Blakely. Like Blake and Lively got smushed together into
number
Blakely.
Number 6, Starlet, with two T's at the end, that's Starlet. Number 5, Khaleesi, like the Dragon Queen.
Nope, bad idea.
Number 4, Chardonnay. buttery and oaky.
Pulling strippers.
Chardonnay. Number 3, C-Y-N-C-E-R-E, sincere.
What? C-Y-N?
C-E-R-E. Number 2, Mattel, as in the toy company.
Just nerds. And that woman's name is Tomy.
And number 1, the worst name for girls in 2019, Shy. S-H-Y.
All right, I have a long-standing philosophy that if you can't name a kid properly, you shouldn't be allowed to procreate.
I'm with you. Now you want the worst names for boys?
Absolutely, I do.
All right. And again, I hope the Parkins family is taking good notes here. And I guarantee you that the elder generation of the Parkins family is doing this and going to send like a sternly worded memorandum.
They've already sent them books over books. Like, do not name your child this.
Yeah, there's going to be like telegrams coming his way now with this information. The worst
Parkins is going to name his daughter Bovada because they're going to pay him for it.
Right, and they're just going to send the gif of like all the cash falling from the sky. The worst
Bovada Blue Chew Parkins.
Is your son's very first back raiser.
Sport Clips Parkins. The worst names for boys in 2019. Number 10, Styles, as like, in S-T-Y-L-E-Z.
Like Harry, oh God.
Like, no, like our guy Styles and Roman. But see, that's not his actual name.
Nope.
Number 9, Danger.
No, middle name is Danger.
Danger.
The middle name is supposed to be Danger.
Number 8, Cletus.
Cletus.
What time and how burnt?
Number seven. XXAY.
No.
VIER. X Xavier.
At X Wing Aloysiousness.
X Wing at Aloysiousness.
Some folk will never eat a skunk, but then again, some folk pull like Cletus the slack jawed yokel.
Hey, what's going on this side?
And isn't Cletus the name of Norman Dale's buddy in Hoosiers, the guy
Absolutely.
Who has the heart attack?
I think it is.
That is Cletus. Okay,
I think it's Cletus.
Number six, Pinches. Number five, Manson.
Also bad.
Your son, this is my son, Manson.
My son, and Manson. Where are you going? No, don't run.
His brother, Sirhan. Number four, Axis.
Oh, God. Read a history book. That's bad. Right. That's bad.
Yeah. If your last
that's
name,
a bad idea.
If your last name is Powers.
Oh, my God. That's a bad idea.
If your last name is, do not name your kid Axis.
What is number three? What is this even better? Ottoman Empire?
No, it's Cub.
Oh, no. It would be better if the kid's name was literally It's Cub.
No.
It's Cub. Not just Cub.
No.
Cub?
Cub.
No.
Cub.
No.
Number two, Yugo.
They're just pulling Cubs fans now?
No, yeah,
it's Yugo, Wego Perkins.
Yugo, Wego. And the worst name for boys in 2019, according to Parents.com, one word, King Messiah. King Messiah. And oddly enough, it was a Goldstein. Nobody could figure out quite exactly how that happened.
That is the Midday Midway. We do it every day here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. King Messiah.
King Messiah.
That's fantastic. Oh, Hub Arkish comes up at 11. He does every single week here on Wednesdays. He's ours today. He's yours on Friday. He will be ours in just a few minutes. We'll do plenty of Bears, some Colin Kaepernick discussion all around the NFL with no less than Hub Arkish. He's next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.